Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, and we read together verses 24 through chapter 7, verse 20. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. And it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, "Help my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress?" Then the king said to her, "What is troubling you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, 'Give your son that we may eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Now it happened, when the king heard the words of this woman, that he tore his clothes, and as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. Then he said, "God do more so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "Do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. Then the king said, "Surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a seah of flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. They said to one another, "Why are we still sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die." And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the voice of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent, and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and went to, and said to his servants, "Now let me tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Therefore they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan, and indeed all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed an officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, Now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he had said, In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And so it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it this morning. As we look at God's word, we need to see a number of things, of course, from this passage of God's word. We need to understand how important it is that we truly believe the word of God. Too often, we think that we know better than God. And this man, this officer, thought that he knew better than God, than God's servant. And we need to be very careful. Now, we need to be very careful that we're listening to people who truly teach the word of God instead of man's ideas. This is a very important aspect of that, because man's ideas will not help us. We need to hold fast to the truth of the gospel. And as we look at this, again, we see as well God's hand in providing for our daily bread. We pray this in the Lord's Prayer, that God would give us this day our daily bread. If God does not give us the grace to partake of the food that he provides, we can't have our daily bread. And so as we look at this passage, we have to understand that God provides food and God withholds it. Our very basics of needs, we need food. In fact, we need the gospel before we need food. That's a subject for a different time. But as we look at this, we see that God provides food, God withholds it. And so no matter what comes upon us in this world, we need to look to God's hand, not to ourselves, not to our abilities. And as we look at this passage, we see a horrifying famine, a horrifying siege, and we see that the king of Israel blames it on Elijah. And we see that the Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered his army and besieged Samaria, and we see some pretty horrifying amounts for food, if you will. We have a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver, and 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings. These are barely food. A donkey's head is not going to provide much. And a cob of dove droppings, that's about a cup of dove droppings for very large amounts of money. And then we see something even more horrifying, that they've resorted to cannibalism. In sieges at the time, it was sadly something that did happen. And we need to understand how horrifying this is. And yet, as we read about these people eating their own children, it's sadly a commentary on our own culture of abortion. They were hungry. We just want an easier life, so we kill kids, which is even more horrifying in my opinion, and I think that's biblical. We need to understand the horror of abortion. I'm very thankful that North Dakota has made some pretty decent laws recently about that, and they need to be even better than that. And so the king tears his clothes. He's horrified, as we might expect, by this story. We boiled my son yesterday and ate him, and now I said to her the next day, give us your son, and she's hidden him. And the king tears his clothes. This is a sign of horror. This is a sign of humbling self. This is a sign of anger in his tearing his clothes. And as beyond that, then we see underneath he had sackcloth on his body, like burlap, very itchy. And he doesn't really, I think, know what's right. By this point in the history of Israel, they have gone so far off of the tracks that he doesn't really know what he needs to do. Now, he's so far out to lunch that he thinks God's prophet is causing this. He assigns guilt to Elisha instead of looking at his own sins. And this is another thing that we need to consider ourselves, is too often we blame our hardships on other things than our own problems, our own sins. And we need to look at ourselves. We need to be self-reflective and consider the judgment of God on our sins, instead of just saying, well, this caused this problem, or that caused this problem. We need to be somewhat holistic in our understanding of the problems of this world. Sometimes we blame them very mechanistically on, well, the weather's not good, so I'm not getting a good crop. Or the other side of it is we just say, well, this is God's will. And we need to see the whole thing of the matter. That yes, because of our sins, God does bring judgment. And yet at that same time, God uses the nature around us that he created. And so they go down to cause trouble for Elisha. And Elisha knows that they're coming before they get there, locks the door. And he says to them, apparently through the door, tomorrow there'll be cheap food. Tomorrow a seah of fine flour is going to be sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. You're going to have good food cheap tomorrow. And the officer on whose hand the king leaned, his closest officer, said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And he didn't believe Elisha's prophecy. He didn't believe God. It can't happen. And we need to realize that with God, all things are possible. And we need to be beyond that, realizing that that which is absolutely impossible of ourselves, our forgiveness of sins is possible in Jesus Christ. And God promises for them food. And God would fulfill that, of course, we know, having already read what we're going to look at in verses 3 through 20. So God causes the Syrians to flee. We need to look to God's hand. So often we are so mechanistic, we are so worldly about our things. And we need to realize there is more to this world than just the physical things. And we need to look to God. And so these leprous men, these outcasts, decide to surrender in hopes of finding some sort of halfway decent treatment. If we enter the city, we're going to die there. If we sit here, we're going to die here, they say. Let's surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they kill us, we're only going to be dead. Okay, no big deal. But if they keep us alive, we're going to have food. And so they go to the camp, and there's nobody there. The leprous men begin to plunder the tents of the Syrians right away. And they say, well, this isn't the right thing to do. We need to spread. This is a day of good news. Verse 9. If we remain silent, something's going to happen to us. They're a little bit superstitious. And so they tell the gatekeeper, he tells the family of the king, and the news gets out, and the king wouldn't even believe it. He says, they're hiding from us. They're going to attack us as soon as we come out. And so they send out a couple of the remaining horses and a couple of chariots, and they look and they follow them all the way to the Jordan. They ran in haste, we read. God provides the victory. Too often we think it's our own abilities. Too often we look again at very mechanistic aspects of the thing. God provides the victory. And again we see that God provides the food that is on our tables. This man who had not believed the word of God, now he sees it, but he cannot eat of it. Because God provided the food, but God would not provide him, in his unbelief, the ability to eat of it. And so as we look at this passage, we need to realize how much we rely upon God for our daily bread. Even when we think we've got enough stored up for many years, as the rich man says, how long are we going to live? And so as we live on this earth, we need to trust in God. We need to put our hope in God. Man's ideas are nice as far as they go. I saw a bumper sticker that says, God says it, I believe it, that ends it. The problem there is it sticks me in the middle. God says it, that ends it. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS, or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pierre, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.